That's what I want to do. May the Lord bless you, Brother George, and the musicians. That was a very sweet, wonderful, and very appropriate song to sing this morning. So before I ask you to sit, let us just turn to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 15. We want to examine a portion of scripture together this morning. I've always been challenged by this portion of scripture, and I'm praying that it will challenge you also today, together with what the prophet says about it. You know, it's quite a challenging scripture, you know. It's the account of Saul that we are going to read this morning. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, I will read from the verse number 10. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and has not performed my commandments, and it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Bye-bye. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, how we love to be in thine house this morning. Lord, we are so, so happy to be here, Lord, even this song that we sang. If that is all we ever do this morning, Lord, to sing this song, Father, it would satisfy our souls, Father, that you'd come and minister to us in this way. Bless us now as we look into Sunday school, Lord. We pray your blessing upon these scriptures. Lord, we ask, Father, that you'd bless us, Father, even more in the singing of the song, during song service and in the preaching of the word. Father, how we are under great expectation to hear from you today. Bless our souls, Lord, with thy presence. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, saints, for a while. while I try to find my Sunday school voice. And we just read there verse 10 and 11. And before we look into these slides, I would like to read also from verse number 13 of the same chapter. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I'll tell you what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, Stay on, say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. So may God bless the reading of his word again this morning. As I said, this is quite a challenging portion of scripture to me personally. And I am praying that after we are through with it, it will also be a challenge to you. So you could look into your own soul, into the areas of your life, and try and see if there be anything in your life that has taken the way of Saul, because it did not end well, as we all know. He failed to remain humble. And so whenever I read this portion of scripture and hear the words of the prophet, what he says concerning some of these things, it challenges me. And I want to provoke each one this morning to such a challenge, just to look in your life and see, because there is where we make mistakes many times. So we read there, and the prophet comes to Saul and said, Why have you not done the will of the Lord? I'll tell you what the Lord said. Why haven't you performed what God said, go and perform? But the answer of Saul, he says, I have done the commandment of the Lord. So there seems to be a conflict here where the prophet is saying you didn't do something, but then Saul is saying, I have done it. So there must have been something fundamentally wrong in his character, that whatever he did for the Lord, he looked at it and he thought that I have done the will of the Lord. Because if you listen to the instructions that he was given at the very beginning of this chapter, verse number number three, the Lord is speaking to say, go and tell him to do this. Go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both men and women, infant and suckling, oxen, sheep, camel, and ass. And so gathered the people, and he went to do this. So the instructions from the Lord were very clear of what Saul was supposed to do. And when Saul came back and he saw the prophet in verse 13, he said to him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. He was very happy with the work that he had done. He's speaking to the prophet and he says, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Then now the prophet says to him, But what is the meaning of this sheep that I hear? If you read back when you get some time, he had actually even brought the king of Amalek. He brought him, he spared him. Tradition has it that he even spared the wife who was pregnant, and she escaped before Samuel went and dealt with this man. So there was something wrong in his character that he could look at what he had done and say, I have done the commandment of the Lord. He was very convinced. I don't think he was a hypocrite. No, he was very sincere and convinced. What I have done is the will of God. Yeah? But he comes to the prophet and the prophet says, Why haven't you done the will of the Lord? And you see, he even used some of the words that God had spoken to him. He says, We have utterly destroyed Amalek in verse number 15. Then Samuel came and said to him, What is the meaning of this now that is crying in the midst of you people that have come back from Amalek? And he says, The people. the people spared the best of the things of Amalek. And we brought them here so we could offer sacrifice to your God. So you can see, even in the thing that he did, the man had a very good motive. He says, well, we will offer the Lord sacrifice with these things. That's a very good motive. Just like today, people can have such a good motive and say, I'll get more money and then pay more tithes, you know. Or contribute more to the building fund, you know. That's how you can translate this. By missing church on a Sunday, when did it become that God is pleased in sacrifices instead of obeying the word of the Lord? There is where many a believer makes a mistake today, is that we take our reasoning and we mix it with the will of God. And our reasoning even has good motive behind, like Saul did. Down the line, I'll show you, that's how the devil makes you to work for him. He gives you a good motive to do something and you reason and you put it into the program of God. And there is how the devil injects himself into the program of the Lord every time. So that's what was wrong with Samuel. He looked into what he had done and he thought, I've done a pretty good job. I've been obedient to the Lord. We have utterly destroyed Amalek and we have brought even sacrifice. You see, if you really look closer to it, Saul didn't want all glory to go to God. Because if he had gone and carried out exactly what God done and come back and say, we have completely destroyed Amalek, the people would have said, praise be to God who gave the instructions to do this. Amalek is not a problem to us anymore. But he said, well, in doing this program, if I can spare some of these animals and bring them and we have a big feast of sacrifice unto the Lord, the people will say, that was pretty good reasoning, King Saul. He wanted some form of glory in it. And that's where we fail many times, because God isn't interested in the sacrifices that we can make. He's interested in your character. That's what he's investing in you. The greatest investment that God is doing in you is your character. It isn't the things that we can gather and become some great people in the world and so forth. God is looking to invest in your character because that's the only thing you take away from here. He's got a throne that he's preparing for you to sit in, and you've got to have character to sit in that kind of a throne. So that's his main investment in you. And he will never give you something that will jeopardize that character. Amen. God will release his blessings to you the more your character grows and is able to handle those blessings. But then we want to bypass it, you know, and get something for ourselves. And then we get into trouble. But Saul, the prophet spoke to Saul and told him something that we would like to examine this morning. He gave him something that Saul was before he became king. And that's where we make a mistake. And I really want you to pay attention to this one. Because Saul, the prophet, told him exactly. He said, when you were little in your own eyes. So there was a time in Saul's life where he was an obedient kind of a guy. He didn't question things many times. Imagine his father said to him, so go and look for the donkeys that got lost and go with this servant. And he said, yes, father. And he went. You see what kind of an attitude or character that Saul was. It was that kind of an character in him that attracted God to him in the first place. Because the prophet says, when you were little in your own eyes. So Saul used to look at himself and he would say, I'm nothing. Even though he was a pretty big fella, you know. But he would look at himself and say, I'm a little nobody. If they ask me to go and fetch water, I'll do that. If they ask me to go look for donkeys, I'll do that. And he went. And it wasn't an easy job. They were going looking for them donkeys for 3 days, journey. Until it came to a point where he says, my father may begin to worry about me now that I'm lost too. And he says to the servant, let's go back. And the servant said, I've heard there's a man of God here. Let's go and inquire of him. Do you know what Saul said? He said, yeah, you are right. He could listen to a servant. And if we ever come to a place in our lives where we don't listen to some people because they are nobody in our eyes, we have become nothing then. You know? Saul could listen to a servant who maybe was carrying his water or something like that. I think the sister is outside there wondering where to go. Oh, okay. And they went and they met with the prophet. It was a test to Saul. And he says, where is the man of God? And he said, I am that man of God. And he said, okay, go to my house and stay the night. Don't go home today. You go home tomorrow. And he said, okay, sir. That's Saul. That's what he was. And that's what attracted God to him in the first place, to set him up to become a king. And many times that's what we forget as people, is that the little things that the big people don't do, you know, the big people, you know, they put their hands in the pockets and they just walk where this janitor is cleaning, you know, they don't do that, you know, the big people, you know. But God looks at those little things that we do for him and how humble we are before him. And because we are little in our own eyes, we are humble, God comes and begins to bless us because of that. That's the very reason why God blessed you, is because you are little in your eyes. But then when he begins to bless us, the prophet says, God has a hard time. Yeah? God has a hard time trying to get somebody that he can deal with that will stay humble. And the prophet was answering a question here where a brother had asked about Lucifer being thrown out of heaven. My, if you read that in Question and Answers 1959, the prophet goes to explain that Satan was the original archangel of God. What a position to occupy. I mean, there's no higher position you can ever occupy. He once dwelt in the heaven. He was once the greatest person in the heavens outside of God. He was God's right-hand man to fellowship until he got puffed up in his heart, because God had given him so much blessing. The man could sing with seven voices at the same time. And then he started to think he was a little bit more than what he is. That's what being puffed up is. Is when you look at yourself, you think you are bigger than what you are. And that's the trouble we get ourselves into when we fail this. Isn't that just the way people get today? Let God just bless a fella and put a little confidence in him and he gets to be a know-it-all. God has a hard time trying to get someone that he can deal with, that will stay humble and meek and stay in the place until God calls him to do something. A man that God can bless and he'll keep himself a man, not an angel, not a big something. When you can keep yourself little in your own eyes. God is hunting. Imagine, isn't that a challenge to you, brother, and me? Amen. That God, right now, he is hunting for such a person. And he's having a hard time to find a person like that. So it means he came to Dublin Christian Fellowship and he looked through the congregation and none of us. Isn't that a challenge? That he is still hunting. He can't find one man fully surrendered in his hands. The prophet says many times like that. Yeah? So he is still hunting for somebody that he could bless and pour out the blessings. And the more he blesses, the littler the man becomes. My, that's a challenge, saints. If we can remain little in our own eyes. And he says, you will never get more of God until you become nothing. Amen. So I'm conscious of time now. You've got to belittle yourself. He that will exalt himself, look at that little fella, looking at himself and he thinks, I'm a pretty big guy, you know. He that will exalt himself, he will abase. He that will humble himself, God will exalt. You've got to get little before you can get big. Amen. And you never be big in your own self. If you can catch this one, Amen. You only be as God, as big as God will be big in you. So the more you are emptying yourself, the more space there is for God to be big in you. But the more you begin to think that you are a somebody, God begins to move out slow by slow. Until he came to a place now when Saul thought, I've got a better program than God. Yes, he told me to go and destroy the Amalekites, but I think it may be adjusted a little bit. And I can do this program a little bit better than God and bring and offer sacrifice to him, to worship him. The man wasn't looking to be worshipped. No, he wanted to worship Jehovah. He wanted to make the program better. And he put his reasoning in it. He was getting big and big, and God was getting small and small. Until now, Saul needed all the space that he could have for his intellect. He was a great king. And then God said, it repenteth me that I set him up to be king. My, what words to hear the master say about you and me. To say, it repenteth me that I sent this boy to Dublin. It repenteth me that I set him up to be a deacon, you know. And I've started to become a little bit bigger than that, you know. It's sad, but that's what we all fall into, that trap, you know. But you can only be as big as God will be big in you. Now, the prophet, it's the same message. He goes to explain now the thing I had mentioned already. These women that were like this and that. And he says, you see, they go by their intellectuals. People go by their intellect. They reason with their intellect. But your intellectuals, if you go by your head, you are controlled by the devil. Isn't that just strong? The devil took a man's head. God takes a man's heart. The devil makes you look at something you can see. You say, well, that's right, this and that. That's exactly what Saul did. The word of God was go and destroy the Amalekites. But when he got there, he began to look and to see. And he was like, my, that's quite a good fatted calf we could offer sacrifice to Jehovah. I'm sure Rabbi so-and-so will appreciate. Even the prophet will be happy that we've got something now to offer to the Lord. You see, he was reasoning. And he thought that his reasoning had a very good motive. But the prophet says, you are being controlled by the devil. That's a very strong thing to say to someone when they are reasoning out of the will of God. But the Bible tells us to cast out reasonings, and by faith we believe the things that we do not see. That's what God does when he comes upon the heart of a person. Now, to contrast this a bit, I have these scriptures here that I would like us to read in the book of Philippians chapter 2 about Jesus, the greatest example that we could ever have. And it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men. Imagine this man who had such glory, who is God himself, and he comes in the form of a man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, so you see, this humbling that Jesus was when he was here on earth, it has a therefore after that. That because he was literally in his own eyes, that Father, not my will, but your will. He completely denied his own will and said, Lord, let your will be the one that's done. He looked at himself and he was literal in his own eyes. And therefore, because of that, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Now, that's a great man. That's really great. And that's the way to become great, is to be as small as you can be. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, just to finish up, the prophet says, we don't want to be humiliated. That's our trouble. That's the reason women don't want their hair to grow out, you see. The reason they don't want to dress like ladies should dress, like men don't want to, see, is the same thing. They get humiliated when that happens. We want to reason and see what is the acceptable thing in society. And we want to depend on that. And that's a dangerous thing, because what is reasonable in society changes every generation. Last 10 years ago, what was reasonable is not reasonable anymore today. 30 years ago, what was reasonable then, it's no longer reasonable now. So how can you base on that, which changes all the time, instead of the word of God, which never, never changes? But Jesus constantly, look who he was, greatness. Jesus was greatness. Yeah? I'm going to say something the prophet says. Greatness humiliates itself. Great humbles itself. And he explains this here down the line. We'll look at it. But he says, I've had the privilege of meeting some great men. It's these guys that got a change of clothes, you know, when you've got a wardrobe and you've got 4, 5 good suits, you think you become somebody, you know? And 50 cents in their pocket that they can rattle, you know, you got money in your pocket. We used to do it when we were young, you know, you got money, you stand with your friends and you're going like this so they know that you got some coins. And that's what people do. They get 50 cents and a little bit in their bank account and they begin to rattle it in their pocket, you know, making noise. And that's the guy that thinks that he is something when he is nothing. But I stood by great men. I mean great men with rugged sleeves. These people have worked their hands until they were rugged. You know, the great men of today, they put their hands in the pocket. Men go to get manicure, isn't that? That's the thing for, yeah. And they stand there and they begin to give orders, you know, you do this, you do that, you do that. But great men of this world, real great people, they are the boss of the company, but they get their hands dirty in there, you know. And the employees bring their Java and they've done this and the man is a great man. You know, he takes it and he fixes it and he works and he shows them how to do it. That's being great. Amen. Yeah? I mean, great men with rugged sleeves, they make you think you are the great person. Amen. When you leave them, you feel like, wow, I never knew I was that kind of a great person. No. The person you've just left is a great person. Amen. You know? And he explains it here. Well, we'll get to it. Greatness is humility. Don't forget that, church. Greatness is expressed in humility, not how fine you can be. I don't mean dirty. Because when he says up there, we don't want to be humiliated, people might think he's saying, oh, we should come, you know, humiliated. People make joke on us and everybody laugh and we feel humiliated. No, that's not what he's talking about. I don't mean dirty. I mean humble in spirit. My. So that when people accuse you wrongly, you take the blame. That's being humble. They accused him and he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I mean humble in spirit. I don't mean just get out and don't ever wash and clean. You should do that, you know, you should wash. But I'm talking about humility, genuine humility. Not something that's put on, something that is real, real humility. May the Lord bless you. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful this morning for these few verses, Lord, and quotes that we have gone through. Help us, Father, to look in our lives, Lord, even as we begin the song service, that, Father, if there be any areas in our lives that have taken the way of Saul, may you help us, Father, to come back to that place, Lord, where we were literally in our own eyes. Grant it, Father, this morning, for we want you to be great. We want you, Lord, to be exalted this morning as we sing these songs. Let it be for the honor and glory of your kingdom. We pray for our brother George and the musicians that help him. Bless them, use them mightily, Lord Jesus. Help them, Father, to bring us to such a state of worship, Lord, that when the word comes, oh God, how we want to submit ourselves to it, Lord, that it may do what you have sent it for this day. We commit this service to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. May God bless you.